Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My non-random guest today is Clint Ecker. Clint, thank you for joining me.
No problem.
How are you?
I'm great. Excellent. Pretty excited to be here.
Oh, boy. we got a good episode to talk about, too.
Yeah.
Clint, how might the people who are listening know you?
I'm not really sure, actually. I have a Twitter account. It's my first name. I tweet. I know you through when I used to write for the website Ars Technica.
Yes.
In their Apple section, and I probably ran into you at some sort of Apple event, and
yes.
It's probably how, I guess. I don't know. they probably don't know.
But people don't know me either. So
yeah,
two guys talking about Star Trek. That's all you need to know,
yeah.
People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Clint, I know, I always ask this question, but I know your answer already, but I'm going to ask anyway. Would you consider yourself a Star Trek fan?
I do. I've never really been, I kind of came into Trek on like my own kind of myself. Like I didn't know anybody else. I grew up in Kansas,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know anybody else who liked Star Trek. My family wasn't really into Star Trek, so I was never really exposed to the movies or the original series or anything like that. And I just kind of like, didn't like what anyone else was watching on TV, and so I'd watch TV in my parents' bedroom. They had a little TV in there, and I somehow ran across The Next Generation. I don't know what season it was, but it was probably late 80s, early 90s. I don't know. I was pretty young. And just got really hooked on it, and then kind of fell away from it for a little while, and then in college started watching DS9, and I think Voyager was probably still airing when I was in college. I wouldn't say that I'm like a Trekkie or anything like a Trekker or anything, I talk with people about it, but I'm not like into the whole, I don't even know what you'd call it, like the fandom kind of stuff, conferences and things like that.
I should warn you that you're appearing on a Star Trek dedicated podcast.
I know, so. I'm probably, I have a very strange perception of the whole thing, I guess, in my mind. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong. I do not judge anyone's fandom. People express their fandom in many ways. I myself, of course, I host a Star Trek podcast, so clearly I'm a fan of Star Trek. But I have,
and I've only dressed up as a Starfleet character once for Halloween. So
see, look, you've beat me. I've never dressed up as a Starfleet character. So I believe you win this round, Clint. Now, speaking of series. Which series would you pick as your favorite?
I think I have to pick the Next Generation, only because that was what I was kind of first exposed to as a kid. And then I would have to say probably after that, I tell people this a lot, and they think that I'm kind of messing with them, but I really do like Voyager and Enterprise, probably a little bit more than DS9. I like DS9 on its own merits, but I really liked the idea of Enterprise. I thought it was really great. I guess I'm pretty good at setting aside like the theme song and like the, all the other kind of stuff. But
I could not set that aside.
Yeah, I really liked the idea of something before the original series and kind of like that whole like grappling with us going to space, and it not being easy. I don't know. I just kind of like that, and us not really knowing what the heck's going on. And I really like those two.
Yeah, I think that they both, if you had to pick two Star Trek series from all the series, there aren't that many. So that's a high percentage of them. But that had the most intriguing kind of premises.
Yeah.
I think both Voyager and Enterprise would be the two obvious choices. Because Voyager, of course, they're both trying to do something that no other Star Trek has done before. Deep Space Nine kind of did the same thing by kind of saying, well, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to sit here and be on the station, which they figured out, well, that's not so exciting. So later seasons, they added a ship so they could go places.
Yeah.
And then Deep Space Nine really came into its own. But so Enterprise. You like Enterprise?
I do like Enterprise. I would say that if I had to choose, I'd probably choose Voyager over Enterprise, but maybe I like them all. I don't know.
I like them all as well. People have been they mistake my harsh criticisms for saying that I don't like. I like all the Star Trek
comes from
varieties.
A place of love.
Exactly. I just have an order of preference.
Yeah.
So let me ask you your favorite character on Enterprise? Because I can only pick one character that I actually like on Enterprise, but I want to hear what your thoughts are.
I'm gonna really mess up right now, but I forgot her name, the communications officer.
Hoshi,
yes. I really liked her. I actually really liked Captain Archer. I don't know. I just, it's kind of weird at first because, you know, you're not really like prepared for, you know, for him to be like captain of a starship, but I kind of think he kind of grew into it. I think he was fine, if not a little, you know, grumpy and, you know.
He was a little grumpy, but yeah. He had a cute dog, so.
Oh, the dog, yeah, the cheese, yeah.
Exactly, Porthos. Oh, Porthos actually, maybe. So two characters I like on Enterprise.
Sure.
Porthos and Dr. Phlox.
The doctor, yeah, the doctor was pretty good.
Doctors are always entertaining on these series. So let's talk about favorite overall character.
I would have to say, I'm a computer programmer now, so I guess I kind of have to like Geordi and Data from the original series.
It's by law.
But yeah, I mean, as it was probably around the same time that I found Next Generation. It was probably about the same time that I had started, you know, like really getting into computers and dialing up to bulletin boards. And I think it was on a bulletin board in. Back home in Kansas, there was a bulletin board called the Holodeck, and I was, you know, I love that. I think it just really kind of coincided with a lot of like really big changes, you know, kind of becoming a pseudo teenager, getting into computers and programming, and then kind of seeing all this like really cool futuristic stuff going on Next Generation, and Geordi and Data were always kind of at the center of that.
I would pick Geordi and Data as pretty high up on my list as well. Now, the episode, maybe two episodes ago, Georgia Dow was on, and she made the startling confession that her least favorite character in all of Star Trek was Data.
Oh, boy.
Which,
why, though?
I was surprised. Well, she said that she felt like Data was pandering to people because he was, you know,
I guess
not a real boy and kind of, you know, socially awkward. Although then I said one of my favorite characters, which kind of... which just aligns perfectly with the episode we're going to watch, is Reg Barkley.
Oh, man. I guess I always really loved that one episode where he became kind of like a god.
Oh, yes.
And he, like, ties himself into the computer, and I just love that so much. That was one of my favorite episodes.
And I, as I said to Georgia, I understand that Reg as a character is probably a super transparent pandering to all the fans out there who feel, you know, because... You watch Star Trek, and everybody, and I've said this theory before, but everybody on Star Trek, they're competent, they're really good at their jobs, they're very confident people.
Yeah.
And I have my moments of self-doubt, as anyone does. And so I always think, I imagine myself on the Enterprise or any of these ships, and I'm like, I would not be as calm, cool, and collected as these people are. And then along comes Reg Barkley, and I'm like, that is who I would be if I was on.
Yeah, I always kind of like identified with Reg in the sense of kind of as growing up, I'm sure many people listening, I guess probably Star Trek fans, just kind of like being, you know, apart from a lot of people and just kind of like being kind of an outcast. And kind of like hiding away on the holodeck. I kind of feel like the people who have what did he have, like holodeck addiction or
something like that. Yes.
I kind of feel like I identified a lot with that because I would be, you know, online a lot and kind of like that was my like refuge in high school. And then maybe those are the internet people of the future that spend way too much time in a holodeck.
But I think that if the holodeck ever becomes a real thing, there will be a lot of holodeck addiction out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's dangerous. That's dangerous technology.
Yeah.
And as we see time and time again in Enterprise, in Star Trek episodes, the holodeck is
it's dangerous.
A dangerous thing. They should just shut them down. They should never have any holodecks.
In this episode, even, you know, like
yes.
Holograms.
It's true. And so that's the interesting thing, right? The big thing about Reg is that he is insecure and he's a very smart engineer, right? He's great at his job, but he lacks that kind of confidence.
Yeah, I think he must be. I kept thinking through this episode. I mean, I know we're probably getting ahead of ourselves.
No,
but I think that this original hologram is like the best hologram in the world. It's so manipulative and, you know, it has way more emotion than like Data ever showed in the Next Generation.
Yes. So the episode we're talking about, which people already know, but I will say, is Voyager Season 7, Episode 6, Inside Man, which is the one in which Reg creates a hologram of himself and emails it to Voyager.
And I love the opening of this of the episode because I guess the problem, the original, everyone's kind of mad at Harry because they think he kind of messed up the transmission or something like that. I don't know why they automatically assume he messed it up.
Because he's Harry Kim.
Yeah. But he's like, the problem is that the message, like, what did they, like jammed up the transceiver dish or something? Like,
yeah.
Just packed it way too full. And I'm like, that's, that doesn't even make sense.
Harry just doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. He probably lost the message, and he's just making up a lame excuse.
Yeah.
Now, the chief kind of plot device of this episode is a hologram that Reg Barkley makes of himself. So it's a Reg hologram.
Right.
That is kind of an interesting reversal of, so in The Next Generation, Reg was, of you know, always stuttering and kind of a very nervous kind of dude until he went onto the holodeck. And then he was very self-assured because obviously he controlled everything.
Yeah.
And he could set up all the situations and he was the hero in every story. And so now in this episode, he has created a hologram version of himself that is much more confident than he is.
Oh, yeah.
That is like the life of the party, although...
He's only the life of the party because he can do impressions.
Right. That's a weird scene. Let's talk about that scene. So there is a scene in which the crew of Voyager, or part of the crew of Voyager,
yeah,
is in like the mess hall. And
kind of huddled up around.
Yeah. They're all gathered around the table. And we hear Captain Janeway complaining about the running out of scrambled eggs at breakfast. Yeah. And everyone's laughing, and you think this is kind of weird. And then they pan over, and we find out that it is, in fact, hologram Reg regaling the crew with his...
egg puns.
His egg puns and his Janeway impersonation.
Yeah.
Which is not very impressive, because he's a hologram.
That's right.
So he could just... You know, modulate his voice. It's like the computer
could do this
it.
At any time. Like, why is, you know, the doctor could do this. Like,
yes.
You know, I'm sure he has in some episode. But yeah, it's so funny. Like, they're just, and they just love it. Like, they're just dying. Neelix is like, Neelix, yeah.
Well, Neelix is Neelix. But yeah, and he's like, oh, maybe I could replicate some more eggs. And everyone's laughing. Like, this is the funniest thing that has ever happened on Voyager.
And then it kind of gets real serious because... Paris is kind of like the kind of the doubter of the whole thing. Like, this is never going to work. Like, getting our hopes up. And then, you know, he kind of kicks in the Tuvok kind of.
That's right. So, thing. Yeah, he's like, Paris is like, this is never going to work. We're going to be stuck here forever. And then Reg decides to defuse the situation by doing a spot on Tuvok impersonation.
Yeah.
Which everyone, of course, finds hilarious. Now, my question to you, Clint, is, how long do you have to be lost in space in order to find this little act hilarious?
I don't get it, man. It was just way over the top. They have a holodeck. They have all kinds of other entertainment. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why it's so hilarious.
Although he did use an egg emergency pun, which I chuckled at that. So I'll give him points for that.
Yeah.
And later on, the actual Reg says, I wouldn't want to be a third nacelle, which I also found very funny.
That was. I actually watched the episode like the day I got it assigned, and it was almost a mistake because I almost wanted to tweet too much about the episode.
You don't want to spoil it. Save it for the podcast.
Yeah, and I tweeted about the third nacelle kind of thing because I thought that was so funny that he would just say that.
I thought that was very funny. Although, like, of course, the future Enterprise in the All Good Things has three nacelles, so a third nacelle is handy sometimes. Reg, I'm a giant nerd. So let's talk about Reg Barkley a little bit. I mean, I think we already have because I was talking about how I feel like he is my stand-in. But do you have similar feelings towards Reg?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I remember like the first episode he was on, and maybe this is the same episode I was talking about before, but it was like the episode where he was like, I think he had fixed those. They always had these in The Next Generation, the weird movers, like the levitating things.
Yeah.
to move things around.
A lot of things they had to move around.
Yeah, so they put them on the little floating dollies, like wheels,
like
just don't cut it in the future. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it was a breaking, and you know, he was like trying to fix it. And, you know, I kind of identified that a lot with like programming. You know, like everyone else on the ship like makes it seem so like easy. You know, like Wesley or Data, you know, they're like, I'll just fix this up. And it's like, blah, 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 and it's, you know, it's all kind of done. And like Reg is like fixes stuff. And like, he obviously was not focusing and didn't get it right. And then the thing kept breaking. And I just remember that scene, like, you know, that's more like a real life, you know, engineering thing where like, it's probably work. Like, we'll get it to work. But yeah, I loved him from the beginning, and I kind of, you know, like I said, identified with him a lot for a number of reasons. And I was always, I think I watched Voyager after it probably finished. I got it on DVD, and I was kind of pumped when he showed up in Voyager in the whole Pathfinder thing.
Mm-hmm. And becoming obsessed with Voyager.
Yeah, yeah.
Replacing his holodeck obsession with rescuing Voyager.
Yeah,
obsession.
Wasn't there another episode where he... like he had the holodeck version of the Voyager and he was like just hanging out
I think so.
On the Voyager with all the other crew. Like he was a member of the crew.
And apparently Voyager, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Voyager is lost and
yeah.
they establish communication again. So it's a big kind of story in the Federation because, so Reg works at the Pathfinder project, which is what makes communications with Voyager.
And there's
possible.
A giant building just for communication.
Yeah.
Apparently. That's all
that
I do.
Is a ridiculous shot of that building.
They use it about three times every time they're going to.
And I look at that building, and that building has a giant like Starfleet insignia on it, and in giant letters it says communications building or something. And I think no one would ever design a building like that.
So you can know from really far away that I don't know.
You're like, oh, there, that's the military's communication building, just in case, you know. I mean, I know everybody in Star Trek Future is happy-go-lucky, but...
And really lax on security rules, I felt. Like, apparently, Reg was leaking all kinds of Pathfinder information to his, you know, his girlfriend. And, you know, apparently it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, they were just, like, told him, and then they just kind of investigated, and it was kind of, you know, it was her thing. But I would have thought that maybe he would have gotten a lot more trouble for just talking so cavalier about their top secret...
Yeah,
I assume it's top secret. I don't know.
I would assume it's top secret as well. But yeah, so Reg gets this girlfriend who's, spoiler alert, she's not really his girlfriend. She is a Ferengi mole.
Yeah,
not
Dabo
literally.
Girl.
She's a Dabo girl who is sent there to, I guess, seduce Reg because somehow the Ferengi want information about Voyager because they want to get 7 of 9's nano. Bots.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Nanoprobes.
Nanoprobes, yes.
Yeah.
So they can sell them for lots of money. Because that's what Ferengi do. And so, so she seduces him and he just tells her everything about everything he does. One assumes he gives her passwords.
Yeah. I mean, and again, like at the end of the thing, apparently there are also no security measures at all on this hologram or anything. Like, apparently you can just sit in the path of this transmission and just take it and change whatever you want. Like, it's a security nightmare, like, this whole thing.
This is a classic Ferengi in the middle attack.
Yeah.
Where the Ferengi just kind of park their ship between where the transmission's going to go and where it originates from, and they steal the hologram, basically. They replace it, and then they send it along. So the other thing is that there's no, like, authentication codes on the transmission
nothing's
itself.
Nothing's encrypted. Nothing.
No.
It's just completely... And then, you know, like they send it to the Voyager and Harry essentially is just getting fished. Like he's just like, oh, here's a transmission from Starfleet.
Right.
Might as well just download it. And, you know, 7 of 9 is like, sure that's a good idea. It's going to blow everything up because it's not meant to handle it. And he's like, whatever, and just does it anyway and blows out all this stuff.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing.
No virus scan, nothing. They just boot it right up into the holodeck.
Yeah. I mean, 7 of 9 does make an attempt. She's like, Starfleet didn't tell us anything about this hologram. And Harry Kim's like, no, I'm sure it's fine. Let's see what happens.
Exactly.
And then they boot it up, and it is Holo Reg.
Yeah.
Who, let's talk a moment about... his hair.
His hair?
I found it very distracting the
really?
Entire time. It has like he has like a giant like tsunami wave of hair cascading down his forehead. I don't know.
I kind of felt like, I mean, it's probably just with the whole like the personality he gave it or whatever. Like it's supposed to be super, I don't know, outgoing or whatever. But I felt like he really stood up tall and they did maybe a lot of hero shots from a little bit down. So he looked kind of like he's there to save the day. Like,
yes.
And yeah, that's the other thing. Like he pops out of the holodeck and he's like within 3 seconds, he's like, you know, you're in luck. You're not going to need that transition thing. You know, like you're going back home in 3 days.
And everyone's like, woo.
Yeah. Like just with the barest minimum of suspicion, like Janeway's like kind of suspicious, but like really she's got kind of a smile on her face.
He is kind of a charmer.
Yeah.
This Holo Reg.
Yeah.
And he is, I mean, I can understand they are desperate to go home. So I understand they are kind of, it's like a spearfishing attack, right?
Yeah.
They know, the Ferengi know exactly what the Voyager crew wants. and yeah, exactly how they can craft their message.
Yeah, and the whole thing is like a textbook example of like espionage, hacking.
Yeah, and they just fall for it.
Yeah.
Hook, line, and hollow, Reg. except for the Doctor. The Doctor...
Well, at first he's kind of pumped. I think he's kind of excited to have another hologram.
Well, that's true.
Friend or
he
something.
He is a little peeved, though, because the first thing Reg does is like, well, I kind of need your hollow emitter.
I'll be taking that.
And the Doctor's like, but okay.
He's like, as long as you come back and hang out with me later and play golf.
And so we find out there are many episodes in which Reg and the Doctor have kind of developed a long-distance friendship.
Yeah, because there was a similar episode, but it was in the reverse direction.
Yep. They emailed the Doctor to Reg.
That's right, yeah.
So that the Doctor could save his creator.
Yeah.
And cure him, which was also we covered on Random Trek. I don't remember the episode number or the name of the episode, but we talked about it. It features holographic chameleons or iguanas.
Yeah.
Iguanas,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's another Troy episode, right?
Yes, Troy shows up in this episode.
Oh,
and according to Memory Alpha, this is, in fact, Troy's last appearance on Voyager.
The beach scene is so weird.
Oh, let's talk about that beach scene.
So, I mean, this is kind of comes after a bunch of other stuff, but, like, Reg can't figure out where the beam's going, right? Like, mm-hmm. He's, like, totally freaking out because he can't figure it out.
He's come up with a bunch of crazy...
Yeah, and his boss is just like, just drop it, Reg. Let's just send a normal message like we always do. Mm-hmm. And he, the scene where he runs into... They're giving a tour.
They're giving a tour to kids. That was
little tiny kids. And they're doing like a little, like, can you name these species? Blah, blah, blah. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And then Reg runs in and is like, the Borg! The Borg stole it! Like, completely freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
The kids don't even react.
Like, nope, they're like
well, yeah, right. That's interesting.
You would think that they would. At this point, I am sure all the citizens of the Federation know about the Borg.
Yeah, terrified, right?
They like would the be
Borg.
Terrified.
This is after the Borg came through, like Wolf 379 or whatever, like mm-hmm. murdered all these people, and yep. Reg is running in like the Borg.
And the kids and the are kids like, whatever.
Whatever.
And we want to talk more about Voyager.
And so this boss is like, "You need to take a vacation." Then he gets kind of like, he's like, "Yeah. I'll take a vacation, yeah.
Definitely, I will take a vacation."
And then he's on the beach with that blue sunscreen on his nose.
And his weird hat. Dual-layer sunglasses.
I will have to say, I really love those sunglasses. I would wear those sunglasses today.
I could see you wearing those sunglasses, actually.
I was like, I'm not sure about the hat or the blue stuff, but the sunglasses I would wear.
So let's talk about before. So there are a lot of people on this beach.
Yeah, and a lot of the umbrellas are like not umbrella shaped. Well, like there's like weird shapes.
They're
and stuff.
Future umbrellas.
Yeah.
And I assume they're on Risa.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I also read the Memory Alpha and they claimed it was a beach on Earth, but I don't know how you would know that.
I don't know. I just, because I know. So Troy was there to meet Riker and we all know Riker loves Risa. So that's why I assume they're on Risa.
Right.
Although one imagine if they were on Risa, they'd probably be nude beaches because Risa is the pleasure planet.
That's right.
But,
yeah.
Maybe that's a lot of assumption. Maybe they have some clothed beaches and some clothing optional beaches.
And I really liked the waiter that came up, that outfit he was wearing. He was like a blue alien. He was wearing a really strange like a unitard, but the cut was really low.
Yeah, it was
on his chest.
A very plunging neckline unitard.
Yeah, like down to his belly button would be.
There was a lot of skin on display.
And the drinks. There's like chocolate.
Yes. Well, because, you know, Reg knows the Troy's only weakness is that she's addicted to chocolate.
She will do anything for chocolate.
That's right. She'll listen to your crazy theories.
But it's a weird tropical drink you would drink on a beach, but chocolate? And it was chocolate passion fruit or something?
It sounded kind of disgusting.
Yeah, it looked like red wine in a goblet.
With a glittery straw in it.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't take a whole lot of notes while I watched this episode because it's kind of straightforward. One of the notes I did write down, though, was bathing suits in the future are weird.
Yeah. And I love the moment when, you know, he tries to sneak up on Troy's kind of sunbathing.
Yeah.
Oh, this or reading a book or something. And he kind of runs up and is like, "Ma'am, would you want somebody to drink?" And she's like, "No, go away." And then she's like, "Are you sure? I've got this chocolate, blah, blah, blah." And then she looks up and like the look on her face when she sees Barclay is great. And then she like reaches around in her towel and like covers up. She's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I love that moment of her covering up.
Just terror.
It says so much in that kind of brief moment about their relationship. And yeah. It is like wildly inappropriate for Reg to kind of basically stalk Troy, who he's had a weird relationship his entire life as a character, right?
Yeah, this is creepy. Like of all the weird stuff that he used to do in the holodeck, like seducing all these women, and then just shows up on this beach, like super creepy.
Yes, wearing his floppy hat and his stylish sunglasses. But Troy handles it well. She does tell him that it's inappropriate for him to kind of follow his therapist, which is totally true. But she's like, well, since you're here, tell me what's going on.
And she figures it all out.
She does, very quick. She's very good at her job.
She kind of has a talk. She's like, what's wrong? Oh, the things used to be great, but then I had this girlfriend and she left. Mm-hmm. And she was an amazing listener. And she was always found the Pathfinder stuff super interesting.
And Troy was like, nobody finds that super interesting, so something
she's
is the
obviously stealing all the information from Pathfinder. It's so obvious, Reg.
You idiot. Nobody likes you. Yeah. Clearly, she was pumping you for information. Although she does talk about how the last time they saw each other was at, what, Geordi's birthday? So that was a nice little shout out to Geordi and Data.
Yeah.
And they sang karaoke or something.
Karaoke. And, telling jokes, singing songs or whatever.
Yeah, and Geordi said he was proud of Reg for making a hologram of himself, I guess.
Yeah.
That's I guess
so weird.
If
I like that moment where he was like, he said he was proud of me.
But if anyone would be proud of you for making a hologram of yourself, it would be Geordi, because Geordi's also had a troubling relationship with the holodeck.
That's
so
right.
He can understand.
Yeah.
He did fall in love and then eventually marry the real version of the holographic woman he fell in love with. So I guess
Wait,
that's good.
In real life, or he married the
No, in Geordi the character married the character in
but
All
not
Good
the hologram
Things.
Version.
Not the holographic version. The actual Leia Brahms character. Yeah. They got married. I do not think LeVar Burton married that actress, although if he did, that would be awesome. LeVar Burton, if you're listening, let me know who you're married to.
Yeah, you could do that.
I don't think there's any other way for me to find out. But yeah, and so there's a lot of weird stuff going on in this episode.
Yeah.
And every time I watch an episode of Star Trek, I think to myself, Starfleet is possibly the worst run military operation ever.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, yeah, we could they sent Reg is freaking out because someone went close to the array.
Right.
And then they're like, we could send someone out there. We got the Carolina.
But it'll take 2 hours.
Take 2 hours. I was going to do I actually wrote down notes because I was going to see like what the calculations were for the speed, because they said that it was like 0.7 light years away and they could get there in 2 hours.
Right. Well, then they said it was like 7.1 light years away or something and they could get there in 2 hours. So you could, I guess, using those two pieces of information, you could figure out what the maximum warp was.
Yeah, but I didn't get there. I just I forgot to do that calculation.
Well, that's you will be deducted. You would have gotten bonus points for that. But
yeah, the other weird thing I thought about this was the whole like theory of how they were going to get back to the Alpha Quadrant. Mm-hmm. Like it was basically like the hologram Barclay is like, we've got this ship. It's orbiting a red giant in the Alpha Quadrant. You're going to go to this red giant in the Delta Quadrant, and you're going to shoot a beam at it, and then you just zip right through there. And I was kind of wondering, like, what? Why just two red giant stars? Just two random stars? Like, you can hook up any two random red giants in the universe by just shooting a beam at it? Like, how does that work?
It's the geodesic fold.
The geodesic radiation,
There's a geodesic fold that's full of geodesic radiation. That is the reason they haven't done this before, we find out. Janeway's like, oh, we totally thought of this, but our shields are...
Do not work.
They don't work with geodesic radiation.
And, of course, Hologram Barclay has all the solutions. He's got new shields. Mm-hmm. He's got upgrades. He's got the medical technology. And it's actually really clever. I watched it twice, and I didn't really pick up on the first time, but he's really he's got the two teams kind of working on two different solutions to help them through. He's got, like, the – who is it? 7 of 9, and he kind of hands out tasks to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Paris, he's like – you get to pilot us to the star. Like that's it. He gets to literally type in the numbers and hit go.
That's right.
And then like B'Elanna, I think B'Elanna and 7 of 9 are working on the shield upgrades. And then the doctor's working on the medical, some sort of injections or something they can take. And then Neelix has to everyone's going to be working a lot, so Neelix has to somehow
keep them happy.
Their morale high.
He might have the most important job of all, says Reg.
Yeah. And apparently neither of these teams like talk to each other, because all the communication is going through Hologram Reg. Like the SHIELD people are like, I don't know, this doesn't seem like it's going to work. And he's like, don't worry about it. The medical treatments are going to make it all worthwhile. And the doctor's like, this is not going to work. And he's like, don't worry about it. It works with the SHIELDs.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's all, and so apparently they're all talking to Reg and he's telling them all the right things, but like the doctor's not talking to the tech people. And so everyone just assumes it's fine, you know? You would think
it'll all be fine. This is not like risking their lives and one of the most important decisions they can make.
Yeah.
Why run the numbers or have a meeting with everybody?
In the same room.
Yeah. It makes no sense. There's Holographic Reg. He'll handle it all. And this is where the doctor wants to... So the way the doctor kind of figures out that something's up with Reg is a little ridiculous.
And it's the biggest plot hole of the episode, because the doctor had really wanted to spend some time with Reg. Mm-hmm. And so they thought maybe, I guess Reginald really loves golfing. I didn't know that Barker loved to golf,
but he does.
Apparently he does. So he you know, kind of offers up the idea that they could go to the holodeck and have a golf date or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, this actually happens while the hologram is doing his impressions right at the end. And, the doctor's like, you know, come to Holodeck 2. It's kind of a, you know, it kind of sounds like official business. And he shows up and the doctor's in like a kind of ridiculous with the hat. Yeah.
Yep.
And Reg is like, oh, I got better things to do. I'm going to learn how to play Caddis Cat with 7 of 9. And the doctor's like, that doesn't seem, you know, I lent you the holographic emitter because it was like official business and Caddis Cat doesn't really seem like it's that important to getting us through this red giant. And this is the moment, like, it's a hologram, it's a computer program, right? Mm-hmm. But it gets really pissed off.
It does.
And grabs the, you know, the golf club and is like, I guess golf is official business too. And then the doctor's super freaked out and it's like a super tense moment. Like the holodeck didn't have to get mad. It could have just played golf. And that's really the only reason anyone found out why there was something wrong.
Yeah, although people still didn't believe it, though. They were like, okay, well, doctor's like, something's wrong with Reg. And so he goes to Janeway and says, there's something wrong with him. And Janeway's like, well, just because he didn't want to play golf with you, doctor, doesn't mean there's something wrong.
He's like, I haven't seen anything. It seems like normally fine. And the doctor is like, you know, he's doing impressions of you with the crew. And she's like, oh, yeah, the Tuvok's great.
Because it sounds exactly like Tuvok.
Yeah.
He's a hologram.
Like, no, everyone's just so impressed by that, the impressions. But he kind of like, he's like, you know, what if I'm right? And so they do the diagnostic that tickles Reg.
Yes.
He's like, it tickles.
And everything's okay.
Everything's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong at all. And so the doctor's like, okay, fine. And then the whole plan kind of falls apart because I guess Reg figures it out because kind of an offhand comment from Leosa.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what does a broken heart get on the market these days? And she's like, 10% of the nanobots, of course. And he's like, nanobots?
What? Troy says, oh, I'll go back with you, Reg. Because Reg doesn't want to admit that he's told right. all this tough yeah. secret information to his girlfriend.
And you'd think it's because he's going to get court-martialed or something for leaking.
No, he just doesn't want them to think he's a jerk. And so he goes to Admiral Paris, who's Tom Paris's father, and he's like, hey, I told this girl all this stuff, and we don't know where she is. They track her down rather easily, it seems.
Really? Yeah, they just got her right in there.
Because she shows up in his office. In a weird... So I don't understand why they staged the scene this way. So she's sitting on a couch across from Troy and Reg. But Troy and Reg aren't talking to her. Like several meters behind them is the Admiral's desk and he's talking to Leosa. It's like a football field.
Right, they're just kind of – yeah, they're just kind of there. And she's just like, you know, I only broke up with Reg for one reason. He's boring and he gets up and bolts from the room.
He does. He doesn't want anyone to find out his terrible secret that he's boring.
And she's just kind of like, you never noticed?
Which I thought was kind of funny.
And then Deanna's like, can I have a moment alone with Leosa? And they all kind of – she's like, I don't think – therapy is what she needs.
Yeah, very dismissively. But yeah, then he goes. He's like, all right.
He goes, and then there's kind of this tense moment where it's kind of like who's going to bluff each other. And Leos is like, I'm a Dabo girl. I know when people are bluffing. And Troy kind of out-bluffs her. Although I did find the ethical implications of threatening to put someone in a mental hospital, essentially, like for no reason. It's kind of like you would think that'd be kind of against some sort of rule to like, threaten someone like that, even if they are potentially a criminal, you know.
It seems like there are not many rules around, because there are no repercussions for Reg telling her all this stuff.
She's like, I can't really do anything, but I can have you involuntarily committed to like a psych ward or something like that.
Right. FYI.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah, Leosa spills the beans.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, there's a Ferengi ship hovering over by this red giant.
Right. And apparently she has all the details, like the complete schematic. Yes. Is on that little pad.
She knows everything about the ship. It's very strange. And apparently the Ferengi ship, we only see three Ferengi on this ship. So
yeah.
It looks like it's
and
a
one
big
is named
ship.
Nunk. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Nunk.
And he must be an incredible hologram engineer guy.
Yeah.
Because not only does he quickly reverse engineer and upgrade Reg to do his evil bidding, which isn't all that evil. Well, I guess it is kind of evil. He wants to kill everyone and steal the
liquefy,
Dinobots.
Yeah.
That's pretty evil. But also, he leaves no trace of his fiddling around. So,
but yet, they're able to trick him fairly easily.
Yes, they are incredibly smart and very stupid at the same time.
Right, because Reg figures out the nanobot thing from Leosa, just kind of offhand thing. But then again, he doesn't want to tell anybody. He's like over in the corner, and Troy's like, "What are you doing over there?" And he's like trying to figure out, you know, like what's going on.
Trying to save the day.
Yeah, and she's like, "Tell somebody for God's sake!" And so eventually, they figure out. I think the Ferengi ship starts opening the portal or whatever.
The geodesic fold.
Yeah, and they're kind of like, what the hell is that? And then I guess he must figure it out. And then they kind of like, they do a they go to the holodeck, and they like do the Voyager reactor cores behind him.
It's like using the magic backdrop in Photo Booth.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like kind of, they make it all kind of fuzzy and staticky, and they transmit to the Ferengi ship, but you would, I'm pretty sure you can tell where the transmissions are coming from in Star Trek.
Yes.
But apparently they just assume that it's the holodeck, Reginald.
Right. Even though they think that they know that it's impossible to communicate through this fold. But they're like, well, I guess I was wrong.
They're like, it's impossible. And they're like, yeah, okay. He's like, I guess I'm a better programmer than I thought.
because I can change the laws of physics.
And then the Reginald's like, you got to shut down the port. It's the only way. What did he say? Janeway figured out, you know, the plan. And not only did she figure out the plan, she figured out how to actually get back through.
Right.
And she's furious.
She's a whiz at S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. She's furious. They're just like, we're just going to run away. And he's like, no, you have to shut down the portal, though. She's going to get you. She's got, and he lists off all that stuff. Like, he's got Borg, this and that, and Hirogen hunting things.
Yes. Which all sound very cool.
Yeah, and they were, you know, they're like, oh, crap. So they shut it down, and on the other side, Holo Reginald's like, what the heck? You know, like, where's the portals going shut? And, you know, Janeway's like, oh, well, you know, we tried.
And this is the payoff, though, for when his amazing impersonations. So Seven of Nine, actually before this, Seven of Nine's like, oh, these shields are not going to work. We have to stop because there's a bunch of different kinds of radiation in this fold. And Reg is like, well, it'll be fine. We have the inoculations. And she's like,
I don't know. We didn't expect this.
Yeah, let me just give Janeway a heads up.
And then she sticks his hand through her head.
Yeah, and she gets knocked out cold.
Can the doctor do that whenever? Is that like a hologram thing
I don't know. I've never seen the doctor do that. You'd think that would have come up. I know if I were a hologram and Neelix were around, that would have come up.
So yeah, he just kind of sticks his hand into her head, which just, I guess, knocks her out. I don't know. And then
he does his amazing Seven of Nine impersonation.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, oh, there was a problem, but it was fixed. like doesn't even explain what the problem was. Right. No one cares.
I think would be suspicious, but Jada was like, well, whatever.
sure. Keep going.
We're going home.
And then they beam into the transporter, the runabout or the shuttlecraft or something.
Or an escape pod, I think.
Escape pod, yeah. And they're heading for the thing, and then it's kind of like a tense moment because they're like, can we get a tractor beam on it? No, there's nebulous interference that makes tractor beams not work. And then they're like, can you get a transporter lock? And it's Harry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was kind of actually fitting that Harry kind of resolved the thing because it was his fault in the first place.
He clicked on that link.
That's right. So he beamed it back, and then I guess they deactivated the hologram, and you know, everything's fine. And they don't really know what happened at the end. I guess they just know that the portal didn't open. I think they figure out that hologram Yeah, Reginald was bad. Yeah, something's
up with Hologram Reg, but yeah, they don't quite know the whole story.
Yeah.
And I guess they'll find out in their next month's transmission.
That's right.
Wait, unless Reg tries to send them another hologram. Yeah.
And then, you know, at the very end, that final scene, mm-hmm, where Harry's kind of bummed. He's like, oh, it didn't work out. And Paris is kind of like, I told you so. They decide to fuck with him. Like, B'Elanna is there for, like, her second scene in the mm-hmm whole thing. I think she gets handed, like, a pad when they're going to fix the shields. And then at the end, her and Paris are kind of at the mess hall. And they're like, oh, it's too bad. He's like, he's got the weird apple pie that Neelix made him.
Yes.
Like neon green apple pie. And he's like, it would have been better in San Francisco. And then Paris is like, well, you know what? We met this traitor. He's got like a thing that can take us anywhere in the universe. And he's like, I'm not that gullible. B'Elanna's like,
I was like, no, it totally is true. I was there.
And he kind of like lights up for 1 second. And then they just crack up.
They're like, ha-ha, we're never getting home, you sucker.
You idiot, Harry. It was so mean. It was like only there to like demoralize Harry even more.
It's true. I don't like Harry Kim, so I enjoyed that. But I did think, even though I don't like Harry Kim, I thought, that's a little too mean.
It's like just a really mean scene. And he looks so mad, so dejected at the end.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird way to end the episode. You would think maybe they'd say, well, maybe we shouldn't open strange holograms. But no, it's let's mock Harry Kim.
And then I get, oh, is that the last scene or is the last scene where like he's put security upgrades?
Oh, I think that's what, and his security upgrade consists of the hologram yelling it at someone else. Yeah. Identify yourself. Which doesn't seem like that much of a security upgrade.
Yeah. Then Troy's like, oh, actually, you know, Riker's here. We're actually going to spend our vacation in Tiburon. Is that in Alaska? Maybe. I don't know where that is. But, he's like, you should come to dinner. And they've got like they got a date for him.
Yeah, we got a lady friend for you who's actually a school teacher.
Oh, because Leosa was supposedly a teacher, right?
But she was not.
And this time it's a real teacher. And then he's like, what she's at the end, they have kind of like the funny send-off. It's like, don't worry, Reg, we've taken security precautions.
Right. And then everyone says, ha, 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 ha,
ha. And they play him right out.
Also, tomorrow you're going to be court-martialed for leaking top-secret information. Sorry about that. And nothing happens to the Ferengi either, right? They just get away, one assumes.
Yeah, I think they just leave. Like, it's not really resolved. They close the portal and then no one cares anymore.
Because this is a major thing. They were going to kill like 150 Starfleet officers and steal a Starfleet ship.
And theoretically sell nanoprobes.
Like Borg technology.
Which is like no joking matter to the highest bidder.
And everyone's like, well,
you know, whatever. Let them go.
Ferengis are going to Ferengi. We can't stop them.
And I love that. I don't know where this came from. I don't know if this has always been there, but I love the like interface that Ferengis use to their ship. It's like a big ball.
Oh, yes. I think that has always been there.
You know, it's easy to say that it's like a super campy episode. And then, you know, it's like season 7. You know, they're kind of like wrapping it up. You know, they're trying. I felt like maybe it was kind of like a, you know, fan service sort of thing. You got Reginald and all these, you know, Troy.
Let's bring Troy on once more.
Yeah, you've got the whole like that kind of dynamic. So I kind of feel like Voyager was kind of like a throwback to the Next Generation anyway, and they really mm-hmm. looped in all these characters, so that's kind of cool. I liked it. It was super campy, and it had like, you know, bumbling Harry and bumbling Reg and, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was fun. I liked it.
Yeah, I think overall it's fun. I mean, it doesn't stand much scrutiny.
Yeah, like, I mean, it doesn't advance anything, like, in the whole plot. They're just, like, try to get home. It fails. I mean, I guess that's a pretty standard plot in Voyager.
Yeah, they do. Memory Alpha said, like, this is the 9th time that they've had a failed attempt to get home. Well, Clids, thank you for joining me, and I hope you come on again.
Awesome. Thank you. It's been great.
Next on Random Trek, Voyager's Death Wish.